Hey everyone, today we're going to continue with my little mini-series on meditation myths. Today is number 3, tomorrow we'll have number 4, so make sure to come back for that as well. This is a bit of a tongue-in-cheek one, but it's also really important, and it's a myth that stops a lot of people beginning meditation or opening their mind to it, and even when they're presented with scientific evidence, they still tend to be quite sceptical and unsure about it. And this myth is that basically meditation is for hippies.
This is a Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm Ross Edwards, author, coach, podcaster, and avid practitioner and teacher of psychology and spirituality. In listening to this podcast, you're part of the worldwide Deep Psychology community of tens of thousands of people undertaking profound personal transformation. You can find me on Spotify and Apple, where I release new episodes every Thursday. If you dig what I do and want to help the show grow, share this with a friend and leave a review. You can also go deeper with this work by training with me at deep-psychology.com. Let's get started.
What do I mean by this? When you speak about meditation to people, people who've never tried it, people who don't really know much about it, they often have a negative reaction, and they often tend to assume that meditation is for people who are, you know, sort of countercultural, interested in vegetarianism, veganism, sort of anti-government, anti-establishment, you know, anti-capitalism. They don't like materialism. They live simply. They live minimalist lives. They're into peace and love and all the rest of it, right? And they often sort of throw you in with those people as well, because of the association, right? And what happens is that their mind closes. Anything that you will say from then on, you're sort of fighting an uphill struggle because they have this assumption. And you might have this assumption as well, which is why I'm making this episode, to help you understand that it's not for hippies. I mean, it is, but it doesn't have to be. It's not just for hippies, right? So where does this myth come from? I think it basically comes from the fact that when Eastern practices like meditation and yoga came to the West in the 60s and 70s in quite a widespread way, the people who were practicing them were the younger generation, in particular those who were attracted to the counterculture of the time, you know, the students that went out and protested and did sit-ins and did like peaceful demonstration, and they were taking acid and it was like peace and love and all the rest of it. And these people were often openly interested in Eastern practices like yoga and meditation and chanting and whatnot, and they adopted those philosophies and sort of built their life around them. So the first exposure that we've had in the West to these things are through the hippies, right? So naturally they get associated with them. And listen, in a way it's kind of true. You know, let's be honest. If you go to a yoga class, you go to a meditation class, nowadays, I'm talking, you're probably going to encounter people who are veering more towards hippies rather than being business people. Right, let's be honest about it. We all, if you've done any form of meditation or yoga, you'll know what I'm talking about, right? But if you don't identify with those people, I don't want this to discourage you and to think that, well, it must be a load of rubbish because these people they don't like science and they don't like rationale and they don't like reason and evidence. So this means meditation is a load of nonsense and I don't want to be associated with that culture. Well, not so fast, right? Because although even nowadays, it's probably true that countercultural people are those that are more likely to practice these things, it doesn't mean that the practice itself isn't valuable, right? What I would say is it just simply doesn't appeal to people who are at lower stages of development. They're just not ready, their psyche is not ready. They're out doing other things. They've got other thing, you know, other motivations, other values to fulfill, right? And actually, there's a heap of scientific evidence behind meditation. A lot of it is unreliable, about two-thirds of it actually is unreliable, but about a third of it is like real hard-nosed scientific evidence that shows a lot of things about meditation that are quite remarkable. And it's now a clinical tool. You know, mindfulness especially is a clinical tool in countries across the world. So it's not just a load of nonsense, right? It's not just some hippie practice that people do because, you know, it fits with their worldview. No, it's actually, the benefits are real and proven and all the rest of it. And this has been around for thousands of years. It goes way beyond the hippies. It goes, in the East, this goes back thousands of years, right? So from that point of view, it's not just for hippies, because clearly it's not all just made up, and it's not just like a weird hippie practice. It has no actual solid evidence behind it. That is clearly not true. Second of all, there are plenty of people in the public eye who are certainly not hippies who practice meditation and publicly speak about it. A good example is Sam Harris, who's one of a public intellectual. If you don't know him, he's released several popular books and about atheism, rationality, religion. And also, in about 10 years ago, he released a book called Spirituality Without Religion. Spirituality Without Religion. And what he basically did in that book was he described his meditation training, and he described the amazing things it's done for his life and the experiences he's had from his meditation. Now, as a meditator, I'm not surprised by this at all, but in the context of our culture, it's actually quite a revolutionary work from someone who's so outspoken against fundamentalist religion, but coming out on the side of, let's say, practical religion or practical spirituality. Spirituality involves training and practice, right? So, and if you want, I'm sure, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head right now, but if you type in public figures who practice meditation, or scientists who practice meditation, academics who practice meditation, you're going to find a whole slew of examples of people, and you'll be quite surprised how the scope of it. And finally, I think it's important to remember that it depends on how you frame meditation as well. I like to frame meditation as attention practices or attention training, because it makes it accessible to a wide range of people with different worldviews, different ways of making sense of themselves and the world. And ultimately, that's what it is. I mean, we can put it in different packaging and terminology, but that's not as important as doing the work and of finding a practice and system that works for you. So it can be presented in hippie language, that is absolutely true, and in a hippie cultural context, but it doesn't have to be. And actually, one way you can think of it is attention training. This is how it's presented in academia and in science and so on, is really focusing on the fact that it trains attention, because that's more understandable and more palatable to the scientific mind. So the packaging plays a big role in this, but it doesn't mean that the packaging has to be that way. So if you don't like that hippie packaging, then don't use it, right? And find a system that describes it in a way that is palatable to you, right? I also just invite us to sort of look at our biases and our blind spots a little bit, because it's easy to look, you know, to hear about meditation and say, oh, that's just for hippies. Right. Well, first of all, question that, you know, is it just for hippies? And I've explained there that it's really not. And also, you know, question your bias against hippies. Why are you why do you dislike them? You know, what ideas have you been fed about them? And do you really know? I mean, listen, even if it is for hippies, so what? Does that mean that it's not powerful? You know, does that mean that it's not relevant? You might consider that actually hippies are in sort of ahead of the ball. They're much more aware of climate change than most of the modern world is. Their values are essentially about love and inclusion, although that's kind of debatable, but their values are ahead of most people in the world, and their sort of moral outlook. Their worldview is that we should look after the earth and respect it and respect nature. That's quite highly developed. And so, and just look at your assumptions and your biases. And are you just adopting this idea of meditation is for hippies as a sort of self-defense or self-deception mechanism? It's hard to admit that, but if we jump to these sweeping statements, often it's because of a self-deception or self-defense mechanism, because we just want to like brush the thing away from view. We don't really want to think carefully about it. But if we're interested in growing in psyche and spirit, which is what deep psychology is all about, we have to be willing to ask ourselves these questions. You know, why do I hold this opinion? And is it actually based on fact, or am I just making sweeping assumptions and generalizations? So what's the way around this myth? I would just say, if this myth is holding you back from trying out meditation or, I don't know, reading about it or anything, engaging with it in some way, I would encourage you just to kind of let that go and just to dip your feet in and see, right? And you might discover that you don't have to give up your worldview, you don't have to become vegetarian, you don't have to give up your scientific perspective, you don't have to become a hippie, you don't need to wear Indian clothes, you don't need to become anti-capitalist, you don't need to give up your possessions and all the rest of it, you don't need to smoke weed, you don't need to do all those things. You can still practice meditation within your own framework, right? And ultimately, I think that's the important thing, is that we can make it meditation work for us. Give it a try. See, find a system that works for you. Find a sort of terminology that works for you and go with it and just see. And you might discover that it's not for hippies at all. It's for everyone if we are just willing to give it a try, right? Cool. So this one was a bit shorter today, but it's still a really important myth. And ultimately, it blocks us from the deeper levels of meditation. Once we get into sort of 5 or 10 years of meditation practice, we're exposing ourselves to the deep end of the pool. And we're going to discover, it's going to help us discover things that are mind-blowing. And it goes way beyond, you know, being a hippie and having certain beliefs and certain views about things. This is a powerful transformative practice. And we're really hamstringing ourselves if we do not engage with it seriously, because we have some underlying belief in this myth about it being just for hippies. All right, thanks a lot, everyone. Please remember to check out my September virtual training, psycho-spiritual training. We're not just meditating, we also do study. We expand our view of the world. We learn different theories and so on, just to give us a fuller understanding and fuller growth in psyche and spirit. Please subscribe, come back tomorrow for the final myth in this series. And a little secret announcement at the end here. In August, I'm going to be doing 31 episodes in 31 days. There's 31 days in August. So I'm going to have a short episode every single day in August. So make sure to be on the ball with my episodes so that you're getting that. I'll have much more information about that before we reach Friday the 1st. All right, thanks a lot, everyone, and I will see you very soon.
Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave a review and share with a friend. And if you'd like to go deeper, head to deep-psychology.com to join my training. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.